Back at ringside with you on World Championship Wrestling, none other than, once again, the heavyweight champion of the world, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
How about that Blanchard, huh? Brother, let me tell you, Tully Blanchard, you've always been the kind of man that I admired in my own kind of way. But today, brother, you lived up beyond all expectations. I might even consider that blonde for Space Mountain sometime. That's how hot that number was. Now, David Crockett, come on over here one time, guy. You know, a lot of people think that Ric Flair rides so high in the sky that sometimes he forgets to touch base. So we're all going to go to school right here for a couple of minutes. Number one, the National Wrestling Alliance is what's happening in professional sports. And I'm the world's heavyweight champion. Arnold Anderson, my great cousin, is the world TV champion and one half of the national tag team champions. Dusty Rhodes, the national heavyweight champion. Magnum TA, the U.S. champion. In other words, what I'm telling you folks, I might not like everybody, but the names I'm mentioning are the who's who in professional wrestling. Even the Rock and Roll Express and all their training bra wearing fans are what's happening in wrestling today. Now, I can't help it that I'm custom made. I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long. I can't help it that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today. But I'll tell you this, Dusty Rhodes, you got no more boot. So brother, the leg is back on the line. And Ronnie Garvin, brother, I'm gonna style and profile for you for about 30 seconds. And then you really think about it. Do you really wanna jump on Space Mountain? Woo, against all odds. Girls, I'm gonna be available anywhere you see my name on the marquee, and you can ride Space Mountain all night long for Inno if you're 18 years old or over. Woo!
That's the world champion, the one, the only, Ric Flair. We're coming right back.
This is Tama Tonga,
Tonga Loa,
and Hikuleo,
the Bullet Club, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Raya.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EMU.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, so I just want to apologize for not. I told you last week I was putting out a show. I didn't put out a show because I didn't finish it, and then I got sick, and then life happened, and I had to work my other job, and like stupid stuff came up. I tried to squeeze in my love life a little bit, which failed miserably. The thing was I was going to do something else before the 4th of August just because I had so much to talk about. Maybe some of it wasn't wrestling related, but I'm going to share it, you know, because I always do. I feel like in the last 12 years, I've done this so much with you guys that you know all about me. I really haven't hid much, you know. And me now being 50, it's stirring up a ton of emotions that I'll have to work out some of that in therapy. But there's a lot of things that has happened to me that you don't know. And in the next couple of months, I think I'm going to start doing that with inspiration from Jimmy Ferrari, of course, and what he did a couple of years ago. And then he puts the book out and all that. And storytelling is the greatest part of professional wrestling. There was a conversation last week online about AEW. And it was the AEW haters on one of the group pages, and they were just spewing. And I said, you know, the hate is strong. The hate is strong with the haters because they don't see it for what it is. Professional wrestling is exactly it. It's an entertainment. And I said from the beginning that I could take the worst show and find something good in it because a really good wrestling fan will do that. You know, they'll take all the negatives and find something positive. And if you can't find something positive, that's fine. You know, but tell me why. Don't just say you hate it. Like, I have people in my family, and I'm not going to get political because we've had a couple of, since the 500th episode, someone tried to take Trump's life. Biden steps down. The country is in chaos. Everybody's blaming the left because of the inflation, but meanwhile, the right spent more money in the previous administration, actually double, but that's another story. I won't get into that. But there's so many things that were going on, and I have people in my family tell me, well, I hate Trump, or I hate Biden. Okay. But they'll never tell me why. They just hate them, but they can't tell me why. I hate AEW. Why do you hate AEW? And even the answers they're incomplete. They're undecisive. That, or you'll just put out these stupid memes and your social media posts on how you hate them and how this is going on. I have one friend who's, when somebody switches teams, hey, welcome to WWE. We have pie and ice cream and we won't disrespect you and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what? Being around professional wrestling my entire life, I can honestly tell you that the people who do that are nice people. If I know you, you're probably a nice person, but you're probably clueless too in a lot of ways. Being around it for so long, I separated myself from the negative stuff. And this is before social media. This is when the dirt sheets were dirt sheets and message boards and the magazines and the fake newspaper articles and the 900 lines that people would call to get this, the quote-unquote scoops. Then the boom happened. The internet. 10 years later, you had YouTube, you know. And then now it's streaming and it's content creating and it's beautiful. The sub genres that are inside the genre of pro wrestling. Pro wrestling has given me everything. At 50 years old, I could tell you wholeheartedly, pro wrestling has given me, it's given me creativity. It's given me friendship. It's given me motivation. It's given me hours upon years of entertainment. The one form of entertainment that never left my life. I would get bored of music. I'd get bored of some sports sometimes, even though I watch them every day. I would get bored of reading my comic books and novels. I would get bored of certain things in my life. I never got bored of wrestling. If I got bored of wrestling, I always found more wrestling to watch. Or old wrestling to watch. Hence why I started Turnbuckle Throwbacks 12 years ago. And this is episode 501. And if I didn't tell you already, I am forever and will always be your gracious host until I stop this thing. The impact player, Mr. Philly Rea. And this is probably going to be released around or on my 50th birthday. I was born August 4th, 1974 in Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York, to two very young, naive, teenage couple. My dad being 19, my mom being 18, and my dad was about 3 years into his heroin habit, and my mom was about a year or two out of school because she was thrown out of school, and and she had to get a job, or she had to go to, or dad was Spotford, which is like juvenile hall, and that's how my life started, you know. And I was born in Bushwick, Brooklyn, which borders the neighborhood of Ridgewood, Queens. So it borders North Brooklyn and Queens. Actually, the entire neighborhood of Ridgewood and the neighboring neighborhood of Glendale is surrounded by the borough of Brooklyn. So, you know, it's real tough to say that, yo, I'm from Brooklyn. But yeah, I guess I am. My parents are from Brooklyn. My cousins, my aunts and uncles, my grandparents are from Brooklyn. But I was raised in Queens. I would go to Brooklyn every day. I would hang out in Brooklyn. I went to school. My high school was so big and, again, bordered Brooklyn and Queens. My high school was so big it had three different addresses and two of them were in Queens. You know, growing up, my mom remarried when I was three and had my sister Toni Lynn, and who I'm 3 years older than. And I miss my sister. I don't see her much anymore. She's been estranged from the family for a long time. But then again, in 82, my other sister was born, Natalie, and I grew up with two sisters, and I was the oldest, and we were a family unit on paper, but we weren't a family together. We didn't go on family vacations, and you know, my sister's dad was an addict, did a lot of drugs. Coke, pot, drank a lot, partied a lot, was never home, probably promiscuous too, was very verbally and physically abusive. But the fucked up part about it was that when how terrible this man was, he exposed me to all the cool shit in my life. You know, he took me to my first baseball game. Took me to my first wrestling match. Gave me one of my first comic books. Taught me how to read. And I resent him every day. I mean, he's pretty sickly now. And I talk to him when I go visit my sister because he's staying with my sister. But it's kind of ironic that he's in really bad shape and karma is just has taken over, you know. There's been times where I would basically put myself in between the beatings, verbally and physically. I would try to sneak away into a back room, and the back room was the bedroom. We lived in a six-family apartment building, and the cool thing was that we were on the third floor. The cool thing was, there were two things. Like we had one TV up until about the age of 9 or 10. We had another TV. My parents put a little like black and white TV on a stand in their bedroom. My mom liked to sleep with the TV on and help to go to sleep. And it was funny because if you shut it off while she was sleeping, she would know and wake up and yell at you. So I would go away and I would bury myself in one of these rooms, either the living room or the bedroom, and I would try to watch TV and drown out the bullshit, you know, because there was always fighting going on, or some sort of money situation or drug abuse or like something really fucked up was going on. And I would try to, like not, you know, I would try not to stray away from what was going on. I tried to block it all out, you know. And that's where I found wrestling. In 1983, I caught a beating for like, I would get hit for like the dumbest thing, you know. If I left something on the floor, or if I dropped something, if I made a mess in the kitchen, or if I, you know, if I, it just the things that I would get disciplined for is something that, like, you should never get disciplined for, you know. Like, I was never a bad child. Like, I wasn't mischievous. I didn't do things defiantly. But I would get beat a lot. And I remember after a beating one day, I was watching Channel 9 locally here, WWOR. Secaucus was the... That was their tag. Secaucus, New Jersey, WW. It's still on. It's still a thing, right? I think. Channel 9. And I saw a Dr. D. David Schultz, Roddy Piper promo. And I was hooked. I didn't even watch. There was no wrestling going on. I think it was a Piper's Pit. Or it was probably just an interview. I don't remember if it was a Piper's Pit or not. But I remember watching it. And I was just intrigued. And he went to a commercial. And I waited, you know. And it came back, and I remember just being mesmerized. And this was right at the tail end of the Sheik having a title, him beating Backlund, because he lost to Hogan like a month later, you know? And then, what was funny was when after Hogan won the title, it was like after the holidays, and it was, you know, January, of course. We know we've talked about the anniversary, and we've covered that match a few times on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. There was a time where there was you know, after he won the title, they would show the image, the opening to the show was Hogan winning the title, you know. So that was fun. And then I was hooked, you know. I was just hooked. And it was on every weekend, and it was Channel 9, and then Channel 5 would do Wrestling Superstars and Wrestling Challenge. And I'm not going to get into the whole life story thing. I just want to bring you to up to speed on where I was watching this. And I was just hooked ever since, you know. It became like therapeutic for me, because I would just drown everything else out. Whatever money I would get, I would get the magazines. Then they came out with trading cards around 86, 85. And then, of course, the LJN figures, which some of you guys were gracious enough to replace the last couple of years of my life. I've gotten some cool figures from some of you guys. Like Choppy gave me a Piper, and Elaine got me a Freddie Blassie and a Sheik. And I think I got a Volkoff from somewhere, too. I got a Big John Studd, you know. I was like, it all wasn't bad. But I tell people all the time, when my childhood was bad, it was awful. When it was good, it was great. And I say that because there were so many things that were going on that I had to grow up super, super fast and not fully understanding a lot of the nonsense. I had to go to school with that. I had to go be, a big brother, and I had to go be a friend, and I had a little roles as a kid, you know? I was always the fat kid. I was the only fat kid in my family, you know? And now I know why, with the thyroid stuff going on in my life, and then even with the weight loss, and now I'm losing my eyesight. So now I know it was the thyroid the whole time, but if they didn't, no one tested for that stuff back in the day, you know? So, so wrestling's done everything for me. And it keeps going back to that, you know, because it's the one constant. I've lost friends, I've lost family, I've lost relationships, I've lost marriages, I've lost everything. And wrestling's always there. It's always there. Now more than ever, with the streaming and the internet and the phone and the tablets and the and like the unlimited supply of the oversaturation of it, you know? And I'm so thankful for it. Even at my age. It's been fun to be at a couple of WrestleManias, you know. I was at the first SummerSlam. You know, I was at a couple of SummerSlams, but I was at the first one, you know. I was at the height of ECW, going to Philadelphia at least 3 or 4 times a year, driving to Philadelphia, taking a bus trip to Philadelphia with this wrestling phone hotline guy who would arrange these buses to leave the Queen Center Mall, and we drive down to Philly, get a couple of cheesesteaks, and then go to the matches, because that's what we did. I went to a Monday Night Show in Philadelphia. You know, I saw the NWA at the Meadowlands Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. You know, home of one of my favorite Shining Wizards. I won't give you his address, but, you know. I saw Ric Flair and Sting for the NWA Championship in the middle of a blizzard with 3,000 people in the arena. I took a bus at 15 years old from the Port Authority. Can you imagine the Port Authority in the 90s? I'm shocked that I even got away with that shit. My friends couldn't go. They gave me the ticket. I was supposed to go with my friend and his dad. They didn't want to go because of the weather. And I jumped on a train from Queens, about a 40-minute train ride to Manhattan, got to Port Authority. I had to ask which bus went to where because I didn't know what I was doing. I was 15 years old. Got on the bus, went to the match. And it was my first trip outside of New York by myself, you know, and I wasn't even scared. I was more scared about the weather because it was really bad. The snow was at that point, the blizzard had stopped, but there was so much snow and it was cold. And I remember just being like scared to be stuck in New Jersey, you know, of all places. I used to hate it. Now I love it because I live right next to it, you know. I'm joking. I really don't hate New Jersey. That was just a running joke, you know. But everything in my life that was good was at one point related to wrestling, you know. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for that at 50 years old, you know. Seeing that Superfan Vlad documentary a few months ago was like, I couldn't believe that guy got recognition. I was like, this is great. Because I used to sit behind that dude sometimes. And I was at the first Monday Night Raw with that guy. You know, I was at the very first one. And I wasn't supposed to go. Someone offered me a ticket who couldn't go. Stories are endless. I'll bore you with all the details, you know. I just wanted to reflect because I'm having a hard time with this getting old shit because I'm starting to forget things. And like I said, my eyesight's going. I already lost my hearing at a young age, so that I'm used to. That's fine. But like I'm just having a bunch of problems that old people have, and I'm like, shit, I had to buy fucking glasses. All I want to do is add another pair of glasses to what I had. And after an eye exam, they're like, no, Mr. Ray, you need new glasses. You need another prescription. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Just to read. You know. But here I am. And I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not. I told you guys a story about 5 years ago. I told you guys about a moment of clarity that I had going to the ferry, and that broke down, and I was crying, and I was like, I started thinking about what happens, what was going on in my life at the time, and what was I going to do, and how is I going to fix it, what can I do, what do I need to do, how am I going to sustain without the love of my life, and what's my son going to think, and my job was terrible at the time, I almost walked out on it. You know, I had gotten into some trouble for shit I didn't do, and they threatened to fire me, and I was like, over that, you know. So what you guys don't know is the before that. And I don't think I told anybody, actually. I don't even think I told my best friend. I think I just told my therapist. But that day, and I was, and the two incidents didn't coincide because I wasn't thinking about what had happened earlier that day. I was thinking about other things, but I was at 14th Street Union Square, Manhattan, in the city, and I was waiting for a train, my favorite train, the L train I grew up on, you know, and I'm waiting for the train. It's 5 years ago. I just lost my marriage, just fell apart. I moved into my friend's house. He had a basement apartment, and I moved into the apartment. And I went to the city just to clear my head and to go shopping for stuff I didn't need, you know. But I was so miserable that I just needed to get out. And I'm on a train platform, and, you know, I'm one of those, I can't stay still. If I'm not sitting down, I can't stay still. So I have to, like, lean over and look and see if the train's coming, see if I see the light, walk up and down I like to walk up and down the, you know, to wait by the train, you know, by the thing, look over the edge, you know. See the trains coming, and I'm always afraid of getting pushed onto the tracks because that happens a lot here in New York. People get pushed on the tracks. So I'm waiting for the train, and it's fairly, you know, it's a busy station. Like that station, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, doesn't matter what time of day, there's always people around. It's never desolate. It's a very busy area. It's one of the busiest stations in the whole system. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I started to feel numb. I didn't have any feeling in my face. It was warm. I didn't have no feeling in my face. I was sweating a little more than I usually do. And I was, because I was thinking about everything that I lost in the last year. Between 17 and 19, I lost my house. I lost my marriage. I lost income. I lost my car. I lost everything. And I leaned over. And the light was getting bigger, of course. Train was coming. And at that time, the trains run very frequently. So even if you don't want to get on and it's too crowded, you can wait for another one. Not for the weekend, though. The weekend, you're not going to do that, though. No. So I lean over, and I just thought, and I was numb. I had no feeling. I couldn't feel my hands, my legs, nothing. I was frozen, but I wasn't frozen. So I lean over, and I just thought, I said, if I just lean a little more in when the train comes, I could take this away. I could take the pain away. I can make the hurt stop. I could just forget that all of this shit's going on. I could end it, you know, and it'll all go away. And then I hear my best friend's voice in my ear. You're selfish. Why would you do that? What about this? What about that? You're so, you know, people tell you all the time, you're so loved. You're this, you're that. But I'm alone a lot. Even I'm in a relationship, I'm alone a lot, you know. I don't see my kid no more. He's a big boy. He does things. He's a teenager, you know. I'm watching my now ex-wife have a new family. That could have been me. It wasn't meant to be me. But all these things are happening and I'm just stagnant. So I could end it. I could just stop it right there. The pain can go away. I mean, I got some retirement money. I got some life insurance policy. I can make it look like it was an accident. You know? They can have enough money to burn me and to celebrate my life. The one thing I didn't want to do was be a burden. You know? I never did that. Even when I was happy, I didn't want to be a burden. You know? And I know I'm very loved. I'm very blessed. I have a really good support group of friends and family. More friends and family. But that emptiness, that disdain I had for myself, I was going to end it all. Because I was broken. To an extent, I'm still broken. But I got answers for questions that I couldn't answer myself. And I've gotten a system down where I make the priority me now. So I kind of fix it as I go along. And if I get sad, I do stuff that makes me happy. Pro wrestling makes me happy. I wanted to die that day. I didn't know if it was a, I don't know what stopped me. Maybe the voices I heard, maybe it was the fact that maybe it was the wind, the of the train, like that, you know, there's like this gust of wind that comes before the trains, like, you know, it's, things going pretty fast. I don't know if it was the Central American lady staring at me who was selling the churros out of a shopping cart. I don't know if it was the music I had in my ears with the headphones. I don't know. It just, something told me to step away and breathe. I didn't cry. I didn't do it. I just stepped back. I took a breath. Doors open, stand clear to closing doors, please. Bing, bong. And I went right back onto the train. And then later on that night, I had that breakdown at the ferry. But I wasn't thinking about what happened that day. I think I was just exhausted from thinking, period. Just trying to fix shit that I couldn't fix. Just trying to be well enough in my brain to get by. You know? Well enough to smile and say it's going to be okay. I feel like I'm... I don't know what the word I want to use, but I feel like I'm... When I say that I want certain feelings and I want certain things in my life validated, I don't want to sound like one of those people that need that assurance all the time in their life. But whatever I missed as a kid, I've been trying to put back as a grown up. You know? And what have I done with my life that has been significant enough to give me some sense of purpose? Is it my career that humbles me all the time, that I've kept for almost 30 years and I didn't ruin it, but it doesn't pay enough? Is it me being a parent for 10 years straight? Maybe that was the purpose. Because apparently I wasn't really a good husband. I mean, I was, but I wasn't good enough. You know? You know? I think everything, like career-wise, put things into perspective for me after 9/11. But that's another story. But, you know, losing my dad right after that. And then just trying to be a grown-up. I kept trying to grow up faster than I wanted to put it on a rocket ship, man, and just go. And the more I tried, the more I failed. And the more terrible decisions I made. I made terrible life decisions. And I know in my heart that it's made me a better person. Because let's face it, when you don't have certain coping mechanisms in your life, you tend to think with your emotions. You tend to make decisions with your emotions. You tend to do terrible things with your emotions. So here I am, 50 turns around the sun. The pride in my mom's eyes. The son of a junkie who was probably the most coolest, most intelligent guy I knew. And I grew up with nothing, but I had everything. If you can understand that, then you understand the last 12 years of this podcast. I had nothing, grew up with nothing, and I had everything. There was always someone or something looking out for me. There was always someone that saw something in me that allowed me to have like pockets of greatness. I told somebody at work today, I want to be 22 again for a week. 22 years old, I had the world by the balls. I was doing volunteer work. I was working two jobs. I was in a band. I was in two bands in 3 years, and both of those bands played CBGBs, the infamous CBGBs. I mean, they were like Monday night shows, but still. I shared the same that I can't even talk. I'm getting emotional. I've shared the same stage as Blondie, the Talking Heads, Bowie, the Ramones, Agnostic Front, Sick of It All, Madball, Murphy's Law, Biohazard, Life of Agony, Bulldoze, Marauder, Crown of Thorns, I've shared the stage with these bands. I was a part of a culture that didn't give a shit, that allowed me to dress the way I wanted to dress, allowed me to express myself the way I wanted to express myself, and allowed me to be who I was supposed to be. If it wasn't for that lifestyle, for that New York hardcore, punk rock mentality, DIY, do-it-yourself, I never, ever, ever would have done my job as a career. I never would have started a podcast. I never would have been as creative as I am with my gaming, my tabletop gaming, or anything I've done with my son growing up. Like, anything creative or good came from that scene. And it embraced me. And it loved me. And it said, you can do whatever you need to do. And that's why I never trusted anybody that didn't believe in that system when I was young. That's why I didn't believe in the government when I was young. That's why I didn't like the cops when I was young, because the cops weren't good in my neighborhood. But then I become a first responder, and some of my best friends are cops. My stepfather's a cop. My cousin is a cop. My uncle was a cop, retired. You know, I was surrounded by civil servants who were like best friends. You know, that's what life does. It gives, it takes away. Now I've done half of my life. I have hopefully another couple of, not a whole half, but I hope I have enough time to finish my story, like Cody. But the difference between me and Cody is I can't live up to anything my father did, because my father didn't do much with his life. But I can relate to finishing the story. Because like I said in the beginning of the podcast, the greatest part about pro wrestling is the storytelling. You know, AEW doesn't do that for you all the time. Neither does WWE. Neither does New Japan. I know Old Japan doesn't do it. You know, my life is better because of this podcast and the friends I've made and the family that stuck with me and pro wrestling. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my people, my friends, my family, colleagues. It's everything to me. If I tell you I love you, I mean it. It's genuine. I don't talk to hear myself talk. Maybe I'll repeat myself a ton of times. That's just a trait that's in my family. Because I feel like, you know, maybe you didn't hear me the first time. Maybe you didn't hear me the fifth time. How about that? How about that? You know? How about it's who I am? And every time I try to put some of that into perspective, I always come up with ways to try to, like, you know, pretend that that's not part of me. But it is. It's part of my charm, I guess. You know, how many times have you have been in the situation where you know you're confident enough to follow through with whatever task that you set forth, but you have the confidence, but you stop and you pull back because you don't want to fail? I'm not a risk taker. And maybe that's was my downfall, that I didn't take many risks, you know. Maybe I didn't gamble on myself often. Maybe I wasn't a good enough husband. Maybe I'm not a good enough dad. Maybe I'm not a good enough brother, cousin, friend. I never pulled back from that, though. You know? I never pulled back from that because I'm pretty transparent, you know? So I would never pull back if I know it's going to affect you with whatever I'm doing. So that's why I share all these things with you, because I'm not making any money. I don't sell a lot of t-shirts. I think I sold maybe 20 in the last 10 years. But I don't profit from this. The only profit I get is the love and feedback from everybody. And the fun that we have when I'm with other people doing it. You know? And for the other guys who are around and were doing this with me and are not with me anymore, part of me misses you, and part of me just says it's your loss. I understand, like, you have to do your thing and live your life, and some of you have children and married, and, you know, some of us didn't click. Some of us are just too ignorant. But the one constant was the transparency. Was even when I was with my co-host, it was always transparent. And I hope I've given you enough entertainment for the last dozen years to have some fun. I know I've had some fun. And I wish I can had the energy and the fire to do it every week. I wish. I do watch a lot of wrestling. It's just that I hate doing it alone. And then the caveat is I'm not going to go find another co-host and then get disappointed again. Like, I can't do it. You know? And it's almost ruining the podcast. Because I want to do it, I don't want to do it, you know? And then I watch, you know, like, watching the Wizards do the 700, that, you know, their episode, and just the smiles on their faces and you know, bringing people on and off, and they added two other people, and it was just, you know, it's a vibe. And maybe Turnbuckle Throwbacks was meant to be a one-person vibe. I don't know. Maybe it was. Who knows? I do know that I've had so much fun and so much content and so many good times. Matter of fact, I have an opportunity in September to go back to Queens for FTW. But it's not going to be FTW. It's going to be the guy who runs FTW, who now wrestles for the National Wrestling Alliance. I could have a table. I was just offered a table at the church where we did our thing with FTW. I have an opportunity to do commentary for this podcast for the oldest wrestling promotion in the world. And I want you to think about that for a second. It's not very popular right now. I know Billy Corgan runs it. He won't be there, probably, but I have an opportunity to call matches for Turnbuckle Throwbacks on behalf of the National Wrestling Alliance. The NWA, the people at the church, more importantly, shout out to Sal and Chuck, by the way. I haven't spoken to Chuck in a long time. Hope Chuck is well. But I have an opportunity to do commentary for the National Wrestling Alliance for you. And I don't want to do it by myself. I could do a Gordon Solie, Joey Styles type of thing on a Friday night in September. I can. I don't want to. I don't know if it's going to be good enough. Can I do it? Of course I can do it. Do I want to do it alone? Probably not. Should I let Sal know soon? Yeah, because it's coming up. So, there's your breaking news for the podcast. So, yeah. But these are just things that I struggle with. Mental health. There are more good days than bad. And a lot of people post on social media about the, you know, when you ask somebody if they're okay, and they just say they're fine, or they're okay, maybe they're not okay, and yeah, that's 100%. All that's true. The thing is to realize, though, is if you know someone and you recognize inactivity, or you recognize the difference in them to the point where it's affecting you or them or their entire situation, and you could prevent it, do it. People have helped me, and they will never know they helped me. I will never tell them they helped me. A 5-year-old helped me the other day. My soul was hurting so bad. I was so angry at something. And I sat with a 6-year-old for like 5 hours. And I sat and watched her play and played with her and sat with her. And we just have conversations, and she telling me about her life, her busy schedule, what she's doing with her summer. And I was smiling inside. Even though my heart was hurting. Because I couldn't have quality time the way I wanted it. But the 6-year-old humbled me. It was like, yo, like, just check yourself. And that's another thing, too. Like, I can easily be checked. I'm not ashamed to be checked. Ever. And that's cool. I think it's cool. Because it just shows that you're mature enough to allow your, what's the word I want to use? Allow your shortcomings to have closure. You can say, hey, all right, I've done this, I am this, I am that, but that's not who I am all the time. And I want you guys to understand that. You know, the most important person in your life is you. You have to come before everything else. If you don't love you, or you don't respect you, or you can't take care of you, then you can't love your family or your children or your spouse or your job or your hobbies or anything else that makes you happy in this life. I'm telling you. Because I hate myself sometimes. And I hate the way I feel sometimes. And I hate that I have to talk to a therapist every Friday morning. And I hate that I have to get answers from a complete stranger, because I couldn't figure them out myself. By myself. I couldn't. I'm glad, though, that I can do that. And if I'm boring you, by all means, tell me in your comments after I post the show. You guys are so important to me because I have a connection to some of you where it's like genuine, where I'll get like text messages or I'll get phone calls or I'll get emails and or I see something on social media that you're doing okay or you expanded your family or you got a new job or you lost some weight, you know, or you got a show of your own. Dealing with that lately. You know what I'm saying? You guys are my inspiration. And I'm so thankful for you. So, I've talked way too much. We're going to take a break. Come back. And after we plug our friends. And probably talk some wrestling. Because there's a lot that went on. Since we've last spoken. And I'm ready for SummerSlam, and the G1 has been fantastic, and I've been watching it every other morning, and I'm getting ready for Japan, which I smile every time I think about it. My mom called me today, she said, "Your birthday's next week?" I'm like, "No, it's this week." She's like, "Oh, what do you want for your birthday?" I'm like, "Nothing, but you're going to give me something anyway." She's like, "Well, I'll give you something for your trip, you know?" And I'm like, "You know what? That's good because that means you're thinking about me and my trip." So, yeah. You know what? I will take that present. I am accepting gifts now better than I did before. So, people are really happy about that, too. So, And, yeah, I'm gonna not cry about that. I've held back some tears in the last hour, so not a lot, but enough to do this because I care in the remote place that I'm at. So let me take a quick break, plug our friends, and we'll talk some wrestling when we get back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, this is a rant, EM Radio / Shining Wizards Network production as always. And right back with Alfred Hayes. Take us to the break.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Tony Schiavone, Ric Flair's out here running his mouth. You're a little man in a big man's world. And me, an animal, don't acknowledge anybody under 230 pounds, little man. Now, just in a short time, Charlotte, we got Tully Blanchard, Ole and Arn Anderson, three of the four horsemen. And we're going to make horse hockey out of the horsemen. Is that right, big man?
No, son, Tony Schiavone. Ric Flair's out here being so proud. I would never be proud coming out here with a girl that's bigger than I am. How do you like that, Flair? Sooner or later, Flair, you and the four horsemen are gonna pay for what you did to us on TV. We don't care if it's Green Bay, Minneapolis, Daytona, anywhere in the world, Los Angeles, New York, it don't matter. We ain't gonna rest till we put you in your place along as the same way we put the Colossus in their place.
And Tony Schiavone, this is the motor that runs the machine.
Tony, you don't have to talk anymore. You know that they're ready. Charlotte, it's just a matter of a couple minutes away. We're coming after you, three of the four horsemen. You're going down. Charlotte.
The Legion of Doom, you can better believe they are ready. More World Championship Wrestling Sunday Edition right after this timeout.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
All right. Episode 501. We are continuing with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast from a remote location. So anyway, I hope I didn't somber the mood the last segment. I've had a lot of downtime lately, so I've been, in between me being busy, I've had some, like, several hours of downtime, so I was just been reflecting and trying to put a lot of things into perspective because of now my age and my where I am in my life and where I wanted to be, and I'm not, like, I have so many expectations of myself and some goals that I've set, and you know what, it's kind of, you know, it's a long journey, man, you know, and everybody wants that rainbow, but no one wants the rain first, and you have to have the rain first before you get the rainbow. So I'll take the rain, and I'll have the rainbow, I guess, when it's ready to be given to me, you know. I don't know how the way to put it. It's crazy, you know. I've been watching the Olympics, and I must tell you, the U.S. leads the medal rounds. We don't have a lot of gold, though, but we're leading. And I got to tip my hat to all the athletes who are in France right now, because there's some shit that you guys do that I, you know. You know what's funny? I was telling somebody the other day, I said at work, you know, some of these folks are just normal folks. They have to go back to their regular lives after this is over. Like, you know, and every 4 years they compete. And it's like, I mean, the basketball teams are professional, and some of the sports do have professional people in them. But, like, women's rugby won the gold medal. I mean, the bronze medal. They never medaled before. So that's a deal, you know. And it's crazy, you know, the gymnastics. They was, dude, the decathlon, I think it is, or triathlon, whatever the hell it is. When they got to swim, they were swimming the English Channel first, and the waters have been there in France, have been the water, the canal that they're swimming in has been polluted for like over 100 years. I mean, they've gotten it to the point where it's okay. And there was only like, at one point, only like 4 species of fish that were involved in this, in the ecosystem there. But now they got a bunch of new fish and they're doing the thing. And they spent like over $1 billion trying to put work back into it. And they were swimming it. I'm like, good for them. The mayor of France, she took a dip in to make sure to let all the athletes know, hey, it's okay. You're not going to grow a third foot if you, you know, if you come swimming, you know. But yeah, shout out to, you know, all the athletes of all the countries. And for people who are, like, hating on, like, the archery and the gun and the pistol part of it, about the Second Amendment, you know, just shut up. Please. Let them compete. They're not... These people practice for years and years and years, and they only get an opportunity every 4 years. Let them do their thing, man. So, big wrestling weekend, and I've been watching the G1. I finished watching it today, the last installment of it. Night, what night is this now? I forget what night it is. I lost count of the night, but G1 Climax is killing it. They're killing it right now. Night 8, I'm sorry. So as of the 31st, Let's go to the A block first, and I'll give you the gimmicks, who's got the leading scores. All right, so in the A block, it's Shota Umino with 6 points. Tetsuya Naito, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, has 4 points. Shingo Takagi's got 4 points. Sonata's got 4 points. Great Okan got 2 points. He finally broke that winless streak in the tournament. One of my new favorite characters in New Japan Pro Wrestling, Callum Newman. I call him Will Ospreay Light. I think Ospreay trained him. The kid is phenomenal. He is fantastic. He's got 4 points. My pick to win the block is Zack Sabre Jr. I'm still picking ZSJ. I think it's going to come down to him and Shota Umino. He's got 8 points. Gabe Kidd's got 6 points. Can we keep Gabe Kidd off commentary? I know he's a heel, but that guy is the shits on the microphone. What New Japan's been doing is they've had one English announcer for the whole tournament. and they would having wrestlers join in when the matches, because it would, you know, with the G1 every other day, whoever's not competing competes in these tag team matches. Then they have the singles matches for the extra tournament, and when the singles matches go on, they bring out the wrestlers. Like Jeff Cobb was doing it, and he's okay, you know. But like Gabe Kidd is the shit, and he's such a heel, and he's like not, and then he's like talking shit, like he's disinterested. And I'm like, he would get asked questions, and like he would blow the announcer off. I'm like, you know what, F this guy, he's got 6 points. Jake Lee, new member of a Bullet Club, he's got 2 points, and Evil leads with 10, so it's 10, Evil's got 10, and all he does is fucking cheat. I used to love Evil. Without Dick Togo, none of those points would matter. So he's got 10. ZSJ's got, yeah, I think he's still going to win the block. And Shota's got 6, and everybody else is, it just between 2 and 4. All right, so let's go to the B block. Bolton Oleg's got 4 points. El Phantasmo's got 2 points. Hiroki Goto's got 4. Yoda Tsuji's got 4. Uemura's got 6. Jeff Cobb's got 6. Hanare's got 6. David Finley has 6. Ren Narita has 6. And Takeshita's got 6 points. I don't know who's winning this block. This is the hardest block of the tournament. Everybody's just tied for 4th place and 3rd place. So I don't know who's going to win this, but the next line, the lineup for August 3rd, which is Sunday, for the A block, it's going to be Shingo taking on ZSJ, Shota Umino taking on Sanada, Tetsuya Naito's taking on Gabe Kidd, Great O'Khan's taking on Evil, Callum Newman's taking on Jake Lee, and then tag team matches, Bushi and Tsuji versus Ren Narita and Kanemaru, Jado and El Phantasmo, Jado, tomato. El Phantasmo versus Uemura and Taka Michinoku from Just 5 Guys. Toriano and Bolton Oleg versus David Finley and Gato. And then Kato, Morishima, Hamna, Goto, Hiroki Goto, taking on Takeshita, Jeff Cobb, Hanare, and Francesco Akira. Takeshi's been teaming up with the United Empire because he teamed up with Akira 2 days ago. So, and let's see. Yeah, and I think that's it for that. I'm excited for SummerSlam. I guess I always am. Part of me is partial to the SummerSlam because I was at the first SummerSlam. I think I mentioned that in the last segment. I probably mentioned it 4 million times on this podcast. So, it's going to be in Cleveland, as Tony C would say. Cleveland. The poster's dope. It's got the bloodline chilling in some kind of whip. August 3rd, Saturday. Cleveland. Oh, no. August 3rd is Saturday, not Sunday. I'm sorry. I said August 3rd before. So you got the New Japan in the morning, and then you got SummerSlam at night for Saturday. You got a whole bunch of wrestling. This is the 37th SummerSlam. I can't believe it. Jelly Roll is going to perform, if you're into that Jelly Roll guy. He looks like a really nice guy. He sounds like a nice guy. I just hate country music. And Marufuji is going to be a special guest. If you don't know who Marufuji is from Noah, please do your homework. And please watch that match he just had with AJ Styles a couple of weeks ago in Japan. The Miz is going to host the event. And let's look at the matches. Sorry, I'm exhausted. Let's look at the matches, shall we? Damian Priest will defend the World Heavyweight Championship against Gunther. Bayley defends the Women's Championship against Nia Jax. Liv Morgan defends her Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley. Cody Rhodes will defend the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship against Solo Sikoa. Logan Paul will finally defend his U.S. Championship after I don't know how many months against L.A. Knight. Yeah. And Sami Zayn will hopefully lose the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship to Bron Breakker. And of course, CM Punk, the grudge match, finally with Drew McIntyre. Seth Rollins will be the special guest referee. So, that is your wrestling weekend, my birthday weekend, the gimmicks weekend. It's going to be fun, you know. And the G1, I got to get my tickets for the Wrestle Dynasty too this weekend. But I got my tickets for Wrestle Kingdom, and whoever wins the G1 gets that title shot. You know, so if Naito wins, he gets to pick his opponent, you know. And how about Shota Umino calling himself the new ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling? What's all that about? I like the kid. He's got spunk. He does Moxley's finisher, the Death Rider thing, whatever. Wish they would call it something else. And he has the shooter gimmick on his tights. I don't know. I don't like that shooter thing. Dean Malenko had that moniker. That and the Man of a Thousand Holds. But Shota's doing his thing. Jeff Cobb said something the other day. How the new generation of wrestlers coming into New Japan, into their own, want to take over. But they still got to get through the current guys. And there's a lot of current guys who are still starving, and they're still good, and they're still active. And even though the Fed has taken a hit with a lot of folks leaving, especially with, with Okada going to AEW and Will Ospreay going to AEW, and it just gives guys like ZSJ, and it gives guys like that and Shingo and Great O'Conn and Jeff Cobb and all these cats to step up and do their thing, you know. If you're not excited, then shame on you. I know a lot of folks on social media are tearing apart New Japan Pro Wrestling because of the lack of talent that's there. And you know what? There's been a lot of lean years with New Japan, and with All Japan when Inoki split, and then, you know, Baba had his thing and Inoki had his thing, and it became like the struggle was real in the 80s and 90s, and then the early 2000s no one gave a shit, and then people started giving a shit in the middle of the decade, and then by the end of the decade New Japan's back on top. So I don't know if, but this is before 2020, I'm saying. Right, so now I'm just, I wasn't invested for a long time, and it wasn't because I didn't want to, it was just because I liked the juniors, because the tournaments were always good, but, you know, a lot of my guys were bouncing back and forth, like, you know, Muda was going back and forth, and everybody was at Noah at one point, you know. Kobashi and Kawada, rest in peace, and, you know, all those guys were in Noah for a while, and then the other guy, Jin, didn't wrestle anymore. Everybody else retired, so I kind of lost interest, you know. My heroes died, Doc and Gordy passed away, Stan Hansen stopped wrestling, Bam Bam died, you know, it was like, no one's wrestling, Vader retired, no one's wrestling over there, you know. I had to hold my, even Chono cut down, but, like, Muda was the only one that was active for the entire tenure up until a year ago, you know. So it was like, what are you gonna do? I don't know. I'm not too mad at it, and I'm sure it'll be a great finish to the tournament. And I'm sure it'll be an amazing main event. And if it's not, I still get to take my chair home with me, so I'm happy about that. I'm excited, and I'm going to try to do more episodes. I promise. I do. I have to be inspired, and I haven't been. Up until the 500th episode, I was inspired, but then I just, like, okay. Then I got busy and whatever. I said that in the last segment. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, because you'll get glue eventually, right? But this is a good weekend, and for many reasons, you know. 50 turns around the sun is impressive for me. Not to most, but to me anyway. And SummerSlam, preseason football, the Mets are doing well. And before you know it, hockey camp opens in a month or two. So, Psycho Sluts all over again. All over again. Super blessed. Super happy about it. I hope everybody enjoys the weekend. I hope you guys do watch a ton of wrestling. Let's talk about it on the page. Get at me at Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Facebook, at T-Buckle T-Backs on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck it's called now, and at Instagram. And I'm on TikTok, but not as Turnbuckle Throwbacks because me. I'm on TikTok. And Shining Wizards, episode 700 is up and available for download. Go get it. It was a great episode. And go get that. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. We have merch, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Maybe I'll put a new design up there eventually. I want a new Takeover Club shirt. Maybe we'll do something. We'll do something to commemorate my upcoming visit to the Land of the Rising Sun. That's it for me. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of this week, weekend, gimmicks. I love you guys. Thank you for all your support, all your kind words always towards me, and your messages and your emails and your instant messages and direct messages and all the messages I get. You guys are amazing. And I will see you very soon. Hit me up if you guys want some content, ideas. We will shoot back and forth. And who knows? I'll do another one soon. All right. Take care. Please be careful. May God bless you. And that's it. Keep a tight ass. Good night, Gracie.